From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, SiriusXM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app at Bloomberg.com. This is Taking Stock.
Coming up on Taking Stock, we'll take stock of luxury. It's all brought to you by your Tri-State BMW centers. Visit them online at tristatebmw.com. At BMW, they only make one thing, the ultimate driving machine. Now let's go to Charlie Pellett in the Bloomberg newsroom for a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I thank you, Pim Fox. We have got 29 minutes to go ahead of the close. Final trading day for the month of July. S&P 500 index heading for a fifth monthly gain. This update is brought to you by National Realty, providers of 100% satisfaction guaranteed New York City Realty Investments. See them at NRIA.net. Data this morning showed the U.S. economy grew slower than forecast last quarter, giving the Federal Reserve no reason to accelerate its timetable for higher interest rates. Earnings from Alphabet boosted technology shares. Alphabet, of course, the parent of Google. Its shares up now by 3.1%. We also heard from United Parcel Service today. UPS down 0.7%. It says potential risks from a weak global economy are presenting, quote, headwinds as the carrier enters the second half. Richard Peretz is UPS's CFO. He was on Bloomberg Television this morning talking about the company's European and UK business post that Brexit vote.
In fact, we have committed about $5 billion in Europe and the UK in investments over the next 5 years, and we'll continue those. And we've actually announced the largest investment in the UK in our history, and we're still building that, and we need that for our network, and it will continue to grow. So we feel real good about the UK, and we'll make the adjustments that we need to.
And as we talk about earnings, ExxonMobil and Chevron missed profit and production estimates as wildfires, write-downs, and weak refining margins battered oil explorers already reeling under a glut-driven price collapse. Crude oil West Texas Intermediate up today by 0.7%, up 30 cents, $41.45 right now on WTI. Gold up 1.3%, $13.49 the ounce. And the S&P 500 index advancing 2 points, up 0.1%. The Dow down 29 points, a drop there of 0.2%. 3:32 on Wall Street. Now, let's take a look at some of the other stories making news.
Thank you, Charlie. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Jill Schneider. This news update is brought to you by the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The Grand Cherokee continues to raise the bar with its luxurious interior and legendary 4x4 capability. Drive one at your local Jeep dealer today. Michigan officials have announced charges against six state employees in the ongoing investigation into the Flint water crisis. Bill Schuette is the Michigan Attorney General.
Each of these individuals attempted to bury or cover up, to downplay or to hide information that contradicted their own narrative, their story.
Each is charged with felony misconduct and willful neglect of duty. Nearly 60% of U.S. hospitals lose access to their electronic health record systems at least once a year. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The latest figures from the Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General find the majority of hospitals participating in the Meaningful Use Incentive Program had unplanned disruptions in their records. record systems. Bloomberg BNA reporter Alex Ruoff says part of the problem, a hospital's priority is health care, not IT.
Traditionally, health care hasn't had to think about these issues. Banking, you know, jumped on this a long time ago and thinking about this kind of spending, but we're in the 21st century. Everything has an IT component to it.
Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
Human bones have been discovered in a long-forgotten cemetery where President William McKinley's assassin was likely buried in New York. The Citizen of Auburn reports that old newspaper accounts say Leon Czolgosz was to be buried in the Auburn State Prison graveyard. McKinley was killed in 1901. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Jill Schneider. This is Bloomberg. Charlie?
And we thank you. And again, recapping, we've got the S&P 500 index higher by 3 points to 2173, a gain of 0.1%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Bloomberg Taking Stock, the Lux Life.
Stocks, bonds, objects of art, real estate.
I've got houses in L.A., Paris, and Vail.
It's good to be king.
You'd be living in a lap of luxury. They got the finest chefs around waiting for you to place your order.
You must be rich.
Oh, honey, he's teasing you. Nobody has two television sets.
Bloomberg Taking Stock, the Lux Life on Bloomberg Radio.
He was born in December 1880 in Mapleton, Iowa. Garfield Wood, better known as Gar Wood. He was an American inventor, entrepreneur, and motorboat builder. He was also the first man to travel over 100 miles per hour on water. Here to tell us more about Garwood Custom Boats is Joe Turcott. He is the manager of Garwood Custom Boats based in Brant Lake, New York. Joe, thanks very much for being with us. Tell people who maybe are not familiar with the world of Garwood boats as well as Chris Craft, tell us about what these boats mean to the history of the United States.
Well, they were really the Garwood and Chris Craft were really the first pleasure boats that came about in the 1920s, right on up through the 40s and 50s. You know, they were all mahogany. And for the first time after the internal combustion engine in the auto industry, they started putting them in boats and people started powerboating.
Not just the auto industry, right? I have a sound clip of the Liberty V-12, a 27-liter V-12 World War I airplane engine, and that's used in these boats. Let's listen to that. Now, this is that boat running full blast, right? You just can't tell how loud it is. What's it like to drive around with a 27-liter V-12 powering your mahogany boat?
Oh, it's a sound you'll never forget. It's truly amazing. Garwood was one of the first guys to take aircraft engines and put them in wooden boats. And this was a big part of his racing success in the early 1920s and into the 1930s. But he also put them in pleasure boats, and his line of baby gars was one of the first pleasure boats with an aircraft engine in, and it was the fastest pleasure boat you could buy.
You've got a 1926 33-foot Garwood baby gar. Who owned it, and tell us about this boat?
Yeah, it was originally built for Edward John Noble, who was the president of Lifesaver Candy Company. He used the boat on the St. Lawrence River in the 1920s and 30s, and that was powered by a Liberty V-12. And we restored that boat here in 1985, and it's now in the Antique Boat Museum in Clayton, New York.
How much would a boat like that command in price?
There's only about 8 or 10 left, and recently one sold for $1 million.
$1 million. Well, I know Matt is also interested in another boat. This is a 1930 60-foot consolidated motor yacht.
The Pub? Floating Pub?
I was going to say, you like it because it's got twin John Deere diesel engines. Tell us about this particular craft.
Yeah, this was a popular design in the late 20s and early 30s called the Commuter that guys out on Long Island would take down to Manhattan, as a commute, daily commuter. And this particular boat is 1930, and it was originally built for a gentleman in Connecticut. It stayed for a while in New Jersey, and then over the past 3 years, we've restored it to its original specs, other than the John Deere's, which are a power improvement. And the family that owns it now uses it in Long Island Sound. Its home port is Greenwich, Connecticut.
But they're not commuting. I was just gonna ask if anybody still commutes on boats of this class. I mean, do people still use these as daily drivers?
More as a 1 day a week for fun, but not every day, not as the primary use of the boat. But
so what do you think a boat like this would go for? Lulu Bell, how much would that one command?
I'd say with the work they've done to it, about $2 million, maybe more.
You got anything for less? I mean, anything? I noticed that you've got like a 1993 triple cockpit 28-foot Garwood runabout. That'll set you back a mere, what, $125,000?
Yes. That one actually just sold yesterday.
See, Matt, we're too late.
I'm always too late. Story of my life.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what do you have a favorite boat?
I'm partial to the Baby Gars, but the model we're most excited about right now as a company is the 28-foot rear-engine Streamliner. It puts the engine all the way to the stern, and it allows for complete movement around the cockpits. Garwood pioneered this in 1938 as a 22-footer.
And the price tag, just quickly, Joe?
About $300,000 for that.
Joe Turcutt, manager of Garwood Custom Boats, based in Brant Lake, New York. This is Bloomberg.
All right, we're just about 20 minutes until the closing bell of the New York Stock Exchange to end this week, with the S&P 500 getting close to an all-time high. This is Bloomberg.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.